Next on the show, our Left in the Law team, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker, are here to discuss new federal laws that ban sex workers from the Internet and what this means for the control of cyberspace. Jan.
In the spring, President Trump signed the Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, FOSTA, a bill to oppose sex trafficking by reducing legal protections for online platforms. FOSTA passed the Senate by an overwhelming majority, and it's been endorsed by the Internet Association, which represents major companies like Facebook and Google. At the same time, civil liberties and sex workers groups have said that this bill makes life much more difficult for many people, including sex workers and their attempts to make their work and contacts with clients or potential clients safer. Well, Mike, sex workers have fought the FBI raids and shutdowns of sites with personal ads, including Backpage, an online paper used by people in the sex industry. They've fought these moves for a long time. What's different about FOSTA than earlier laws and some of these FBI raids in the past?
It makes a fundamental change in the obligations of people who host others. Like Google, for example, allows just about anybody to put anything on YouTube. The reason they're able to do that is because of a law passed in 1996 called the Communications Decency Act, but it had Section 230, a very profound law that said that you are not going to be liable for whatever is put on your website if you're a host. So it removed all fear of liability and led Vimeo and Google and anybody who was a host, or Craigslist for that matter, not to sweat everything, not to have to preemptively review what's going to go on their website.
But the recent discourse on the Internet and hate groups have called that into question, and some would say it's important for companies that own these platforms to be responsible for their content. What would be your response to that?
Well, the reason why that the United States now has all the largest Internet companies in the world is because of that particular provision. I think if we require Google, for example, to check each and everything that's placed on their website, they're going to have to hire fleets of lawyers and end up charging us money.
There's also the issue of not just the cost of it, but what something like that involves. And often, of course, it's not that a fleet of lawyers reviews every single communication. Me writing an email to my mother on Mother's Day, it's selective. And so here we have sex workers who are the selective targets of this broad law.
Well, what happens in practice is that companies like Craigslist simply shut down immediately after the passage of this law their personals. Backpage, of course, stopped existing right away, and several other websites became very fearful of liability, so they too shut down anything that might remotely smack of sex. For example, non-sexual massage therapists are now part of their plaintiffs in a lawsuit trying to stop this law from going into effect.
What about this majority support in the Senate? Because I don't think you find many people stepping up to support sex trafficking. The term itself has a strong affinity with forms of slavery. Sexual slavery is often a term used. So
explained it. That's precisely why everybody supports it. I mean, once you say the phrase sex trafficking, which nobody in their right mind wants to support or further, you've accomplished your goal. The details are where the devil always is found, and what actually happens here is, I think, not even on its own terms going to help stopping sex trafficking. There are many police who say as much.
Can you say more about that? What is meant by true sex traffic and the distinction between that and sex work?
Well, a policeman in Seattle said that it's more difficult because they're able to use sex worker sites and related internet lists to get clues, to figure out what's going on. It's harder for them now to follow tracks, to get initial leads of what might be actual sex trafficking.
You mean the police actually do know the difference, even though the politicians confuse and collapse them. The people who really do this work know the difference between a trafficker and a prostitute who's doing this for a form of living.
Well, there is a really fine lawsuit brought by the Electric Frontier Foundation, which is a mostly libertarian but progressive in many ways group in San Francisco that defends expression on the Internet. And they have as a list of plaintiffs, it's they filed that in Washington, D.C.
against this FOSTA bill.
Yeah, they're asking for an injunction to keep it from being placed into effect. I don't know if they're going to get that, but there is a motion to dismiss, and that will be the place where the legal fate of this law is determined. The plaintiffs include the Human Rights Watch, which has long advocated for the decriminalization of sex work, and it knows in many ways how the Internet has enabled sex workers to keep lists of bad customers, to de-pimpify, to create a word. It's been very handy, and much of those efforts are been immediately shut down because all the hosts are afraid that they will be civilly liable.
Because I think people may not be aware of how important this has been for sex workers to reduce risk in the context where prostitution is criminalized, that rather than relying on being out in the street to find clients or a pimp, they can assess that there are networks among sex workers where they share information to determine the safety and to be able to have some degree of control over their working conditions, and a lot of networking through these sites that then become closed down. So it's kind of every person for themselves on the streets, where because it's criminalized, face greater risks.
There are sex workers who are plaintiffs, and there's also Eric Kozik, a licensed massage therapist here in Portland, a personal massage business, because he's used Craigslist as a chief source for his business, and he's no longer able to do that. So there's several plaintiffs. I think the heart of the case will be the part where it makes the first significant inroad into that Section 230. It's content-based, entirely content-based, and imposes harsh criminal penalties and heavy civil liability for online publishers based strictly on whether their content or views might be seen as promoting or facilitating prostitution or assisting or somehow facilitating sex trafficking, conflating prostitution and sex trafficking and having it being so broadly and vaguely termed that virtually anything and anybody can be, if the authorities so desire, be swept up.
And many organizations of sex workers, like Red Umbrella, argue for decriminalization rather than legalization. Do you want to say a bit about that? You mentioned decriminalizing.
Well, I think it's a legitimate policy position that people are afraid to express.
Because with legalization, there is, like in Nevada, a lot of regulation and kind of corporate control, and so many, and that may be a discussion topic for another day, but most of these organizations argue for decriminalization rather than legalization. But the criminalizing of sex works clearly allows the government more latitude here.
Well, that discussion itself will be wiped off the books or wiped off the Internet by this law.
Yeah. And so that's why, in part, it's important to support places like KABU. Why do you come down here, my co-left-in-the-law commentator, to do this work on KABU?
Well, we do the same function that the Electric Frontier Foundation does for the Internet, in that they expose what's actually the text of these statutes that have these sweeping and wonderful slogans that lead to their support. What
even among
means.
Progressives, yeah.
And
we show all those devils in the details.
Exactly. That's what we're for.